The history of astronomy and the search for life elsewhere in the universe is littered with unexplained detections hidden in obscurity, any one of which may constitute the discovery of alien life. The problem is, with every one of them, there is some kind of ambiguity present that prevented them from being hailed as the greatest discovery in human history. Instead, they sit in a gray basket of maybe, maybe not. One of the biggest of these mysteries is noteworthy in that it was not a distant technosignature candidate or a radio signal. Rather, it was a detection by an experiment specifically designed to look for microbial life on Mars. It happened a long time ago, in this case, 1976, a time when Carl Sagan dominated the science popularizer landscape, and when yours truly was still learning how to speak, and had not yet begun to learn to write. I doubt my parents at the time could have predicted where that would go. But in this case, this experiment is worth a revisit in a modern sense because of my past history with the subject, and that it's being called back into the modern debate of whether there may be life on Mars to the point that it's being reassessed, and may play a major role in the future exploration of Mars. The experiments actually consisted of four types of experiments mounted on the Viking landers. Viking 1 was near the Martian equator, and Viking 2 further north, and both had scoops to take soil samples for the experiments. The first experiment was a gas chromatograph mass spectrometer. This one measured gas released when the soil was heated to see what molecules were present. This experiment was important to the detection overall in a negative way, because it detected very, very little in the way of organic molecules. In fact, it showed less carbon compounds than the surface of the moon in the Apollo samples. For decades, this was the primary measurement to cast doubt on the findings of another of the experiments. This has changed rather dramatically, more on that in a bit. The next experiment was the gas exchange experiment. It replaced the Martian atmosphere in the sample container with inert helium to see what gases were coming out of the sample when heated. In this case, however, nutrients were added to the soil to see what came out, and also just water. It then looked for oxygen, nitrogen, carbon dioxide, methane, and hydrogen that might have been the products of life, but only because those gases are associated with how life on Earth is. And it produced something rather odd, and it did it from both identical instruments on each of the two landers. Whenever the nutrient solution went into the soil, oxygen disappeared and carbon dioxide appeared. Life does that. We do it in our respiration. But that alone on Mars is tricky because oxygen is extremely reactive with or without life. Not quite a detection, but would support one. The third experiment performed was the most enigmatic, and still haunts the field of astrobiology to this day, because if its results were accurate, then astrobiology goes from a speculative science with only Earth life as a reference, to an actual science with something to study. And due to the circumstances of the experiment, that if it had done just a few other things, and those had gone equally well, we'd very likely be studying Martian microbial life right now in the laboratory here on Earth. This was known as the labeled release experiment. Out of the four life-sensing experiments, this was the one that held the most promise. What happened here is that soil samples were exposed to a dilute solution of nutrients again, but not just any nutrients. These were the seven molecules produced by the Miller-Urey experiments, which showed that when you subject chemicals expected to be present on Earth early on, in what was thought to be an atmosphere consistent with early Earth, and introduce an energy source, out come sugars, amino acids, and the chemicals of life, proving that they were present very early in Earth's history. On Viking, these were tagged with carbon-14, so that if any carbon-based gases like carbon dioxide appeared, they would incorporate the carbon-14, supporting that whatever produced that did it by metabolizing the nutrients. Both Viking probes returned a positive. They detected metabolism in the Martian soil and the incorporation of the carbon-14. Both Viking landers actually did this somewhat differently. One took a sample from soil exposed to sunlight and the other took a sample from beneath a rock, and both resulted in the same thing. Even more interesting were the control experiments. Samples that were heated, basically baked at 160 degrees Celsius or 320 Fahrenheit for 3 hours, stopped producing the gases when the nutrients were injected, as though whatever was metabolizing in the soil was killed by the heat. Samples similarly baked at 50 Celsius for the same amount of time did show production of radioactive gas, but at a much lower rate. Yet again, a sample not subjected to high heat, but warmer than Mars usually gets at 10 degrees Celsius, was stored for several months. Again, injecting the nutrients resulted in a decreased metabolism. Again, what you might expect for life. Whatever happened there was behaving very similar to microbial life on Earth. But there was a problem. With Earth life, if you do the same experiment, you get something a bit different. Yes, you get the initial result of the Viking experiments. But with the experiments on Mars, if you went back and injected nutrients again into the soil samples after the first wave of experiments, nothing happened. They tried second and third nutrient injections to no avail. On Earth, this results in the dormant bacteria coming back and consuming the nutrients again. Whatever metabolized the nutrients in the Martian soil was done for one way or another after the initial test. This called the results into question, but here it gets complicated, as subsequent research has yielded some clues. Researchers at JPL were able to determine how that in the extremely cold conditions of the Martian surface, in a CO2-rich atmosphere as Mars has, and along with UV from the sun, of which Mars has little protection, can cause atmospheric CO2 to react in soil and produce highly reactive oxides that might react with organic molecules such as the nutrients in the experiment to produce carbon dioxide, including incorporating the carbon-14. This might account for the results and also might account for the second and third tries where nothing was detected, because the chemical reaction that caused the initial result no longer had fuel, so to speak. Also, the oxidizer here was a superoxidizer that often gets destroyed when heated, which could have mimicked the sterilization experiment at high heat. But it didn't end there. More recent work has shown that it may not be that simple. Subsequently, about 20 years ago, it was speculated that the delays in the reactions from the data might have pointed to a biological origin on their own, related to circadian rhythms, which is something noted in some kinds of cyanobacteria on Earth. In 2012, Gil Levin, the designer of the experiment, and Dr. Patricia Ann Stratt, one of the principal scientists on the original experiment, published new results that again seemed to support a microbial origin for the labeled release experiment. For those interested, I interviewed Dr. Stratt on the subject on Event Horizon only a few months before she sadly passed away, link below. This was one of the more important interviews I've ever done. One of my aims with Event Horizon is to document past unresolved mysteries in science while the scientists involved are still around to make their case in a current context. And in this case, Dr. Stratt may well be remembered someday as one of the co-discoverers of alien life. In 2008, a further discovery was made. The Phoenix lander detected the presence of the chemical perchlorate in the soil of Mars. This has often been mischaracterized as a showstopper for life on Mars, but it actually isn't. Perchlorate isn't a very good oxidizer of organics until you heat it significantly. But if you do that, as one of the experiments did, then it destroys organics. That was one of the points of the original argument against the results of the Viking Life Search experiments, that almost no organics were found. But under these conditions, the organics would have been destroyed. It's been estimated that before heating, the samples could have had significant amounts of organic chemicals, and indeed Mars has since been shown to have organics in its soil. This moved the Viking life detections from probably not to the current thinking of inconclusive. The organics that were found were weird. They were chloromethane and dichloromethane, which are chlorine compounds. Because of this, they were dismissed as contaminants from earthly cleaning fluids. This was due in part to the isotope ratios of the compounds matching Earth. The problem was that we didn't yet know what the ratios for Mars were. We do now, as of 2021, and they are the same as Earth. So this very well may have been an error early on, because those two chemicals have also since been proven to result from reactions of perchlorate to very dry desert soils on Earth, similar to the Martian soil. Again, it moved from case closed to inconclusive. The final experiment also produced an interesting result. It was known as the pyrolytic release experiment. Again, it used carbon-14, but in a different way, to see if carbon could be fixed, like plants do on Earth, essentially looking for photosynthesis. The sterilized control sample showed no evidence of this, but the experiment itself yielded a positive. This finding was dismissed because of the results of the GCMS experiment, but with that in question now, This detection too comes back on the table as a possible detection of biology on Mars. It's also been pointed out that the GCMS experiment might have also produced a null result because the amount of organisms needed to produce the results of the labeled release experiment were too low for it to detect. At the same time, however, other findings regarding the chemistry of Mars have opened up other avenues that may partly explain the Viking detections chemically without the need to invoke biology, but these are ongoing. Unfortunately, the direct life detection experiments and the questions that surrounded them caused NASA to essentially get out of the direct detection business and focus on a follow-the-water plan to try to understand if Mars could have hosted life through a roundabout means, because direct detection seemed to only lead to ambiguity. Though this is more recently being rethought due to advances in technology since 1976. So the results of the Viking Life Finder experiments are no longer seen as unlikely, but inconclusive overall. And it's not just one of the experiments that exhibited intriguing results. Three of the four did. At the same time, though, Mars is a very harsh place, and there is some reason to doubt that life could exist in its very uppermost layers of soil. But life is resilient. That said, if there is life on Mars, we should really try to find out before sending anyone there. If contamination were possible, though, Mars would have dropped it on Earth long ago in a meteorite. And it's highly unlikely that a Martian organism could infect a human, or for that matter, any life on Earth. But there is another question here. If microbial life is indeed found on Mars conclusively, and shown to be of truly alien origin not related to life on Earth, should we still explore Mars, or should we set it aside as a nature preserve? Thanks for listening. I'm futurist and science fiction author John Michael Gaudier, currently eyeing Mars suspiciously. There's actually another somewhat odd point about Mars. It's rusted, and it's not entirely clear how that happened on a global scale. But iron meteorites on the surface, found by the rovers, are not rusted, so whatever it was, it's apparently gone or very slow acting. Oddly, the moon also has rust, and it's not entirely clear how or why, but it is close to an oxygen planet and was once far closer. But like Mars, Earth too rusted early in its history, and it was photosynthetic life producing oxygen that did it. Mysteries indeed, and be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.